All right. Wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, bring glory to you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us again. And fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding. Open our hearts to your word, Father. Help us hear you and apply these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When he got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." I want to talk about walking on the water, what it means to walk on the water. One of the things that are brought out here, when Peter began walking on the water, he just took off walking. And he began to look around him. And he became frightened and afraid as he watched the sea, the waves, the wind, the storm. And he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord was right there. Walking on the water is like faith. It's living our lives by faith. The book of Hebrews talks about this quite a bit. Living by faith. Some people talk about faith as just believing Jesus or believing the facts or believing dogma or being real religious. But faith is like walking on water. Basically impossible for us to do by ourselves. But because Jesus was there and doing it, he bids us come to follow him. And that's what it is by following Jesus. We get confused a lot of times with the right religion, the right way, the right this, the right that. But what God wants us to do is have faith. And that is stepping out of the boat and getting out on the water. You know, it's easy to stay in the boat. we can just sit right tight in the boat. But to get out of the water, we are stepping out into the unknown, the insecure, where we don't know where we're going. We don't know how we're doing it. But Jesus is there. And that's where Jesus is at, out on the water, bidding us to come follow him. We try almost anything except getting out on the water. It's not comfortable. It's not easy getting out on the water. We are creatures of habit. And it's so easy for us to get into ruts or habits that are comfortable, that keep us safe, keep us in a place where we don't have to step out on the water. We're just pretty happy in our own little rut. A lot of times when we think of habits, we think of bad habits. A habit is just something you do just out of necessity or need or addictions. You know, we think of people that use tobacco or get drunk all the time or take drugs or whatever you want to name of bad habits. We are creatures that are prone to habits. And so we see the ill effects of bad habits. And we see the ones that are bad. And we look at the people and we think, well, why do they do that? Why don't they just quit smoking? They know it's killing them. Why don't they just quit drinking? They know it's killing them. Why don't they just quit doing drugs? There's a power behind all those habits that gives them comfort. Satan is in control of this world, and he lets us get involved in habits, and he gives us some comfort in them. We find rest in them. And so people develop these bad habits that destroy their lives, but deep down, they find comfort in them. No matter how destructive, no matter how harmful it may appear on the outside, they're comfortable. That's where they fall back to their lowest denominator. And they're comfortable in it. And that's just exactly where Satan wants us to be. In our nice, comfortable little habit. Talked about some really bad habits that we all would dread. Some of us have known and been delivered from. I used to chew tobacco. I had to make myself. Whenever I was growing up, the old men around, they always had a big old wad of plug or a big old wad of Levi Garrett or Beech Nut Red Man tobacco. You'd pull off, and you'd chew on it, and slobber everywhere, and drool down your chin. Just nasty. But, boy, the old man did it, and I thought that was just something I needed to do. So I learned how to do it. Then they come out with Skoal. And I thought, well, I'm going to try that, because all the big guys are doing that. And I put some in, and I mean just got dizzy and just almost sick. Every time I tried it, I tried and tried and tried to where I could chew Skoal. And I forced myself. I remember one day I just decided I'm going to learn how to do this. And so I just put some in and I just climbed up on top of the well house and just laid back with that in there. And I went through this terrible dizzy spell and hacked and coughed and choked and spit, and I just kept doing it until I got over that bad feelings of this until where I could handle it. And I got myself addicted to it. Because I developed a pattern, I developed a habit and a rut. And for years, I chewed tobacco whenever I was young. Started when I was real young, but by the time I got about 18 or 19, 20, I thought, boy, I'm gonna quit this. This is nasty. And I couldn't. No matter how much I didn't like it, no matter how much it just was not a very nice thing, no matter how scared I was of getting mouth cancer from chewing tobacco, I couldn't quit it. I could quit for a while, a few days. In fact, I could quit. One time I went 6 months without chewing it. And some little something happened, and I thought, well, I'll just try one more. And I was right back in the habit again. Right back in it. Because there was such comfort in it. It was just a place of rest. No matter how terrible the outcome might have been, it was a place of rest. There was comfort in it. And I wrestled with it for years. And after I had surrendered myself to the Lord, I went to a revival one night, and he preached about Joshua something, and about overcoming, and what Joshua did to overcome. And he had to throw away everything bad, and I was just sitting there, and it was just like, I had that can of Skol in my pocket, and it was just like the Lord was just sitting there thumping on that can. You're just a slave to that. And I had tried to quit it myself. Tried and tried. Couldn't do it. But I just determined, the Lord wants that, and I'm going to give it to Him. So when I rolled out of that church that night, I pulled that out of my can, rolled the window down, threw it out the window. And I never wanted it again. I was delivered from it. I was set free from it. It's such a blessing to have actually been set free. That's what walking on the water is about. It's about being set free. The Bible says Jesus came to set the captives free. Freedom is what Jesus came to bring us. He did not come to bring us religion. He came to bring us freedom. Oftentimes we get the two mixed up. You know, we've talked about the bad habits that people can have, the really bad ones. And then there's some that we don't even really think about them as being habits. But you know what? They're habits just as much as someone on drugs. Worry. We think it's kind of harmless, don't we? But what happens? Something goes wrong or something triggers our mind. And where does our mind go? We start worrying about something. It's so easy to fall into that rut and just go round and round and round in circles in worry. Is it freedom? No. It's comfortable, believe it or not. People find comfort in being worried to death. But they find comfort in it. It's their little rut that they find comfort in. It's not near as bad as being hooked on drugs. And it isn't near as bad as being an alcoholic. It isn't near as bad as being some kind of pervert. But it's not freedom. And that's what Jesus came to bring us. That's why it's so easy just to get in those little ruts. Well, they're not real bad. And we don't see them as bad. We see them as comfortable. As we go round and round and round, chasing our tail over the latest thing that's upset us. And so we look for our comfort in worry and fret. To everybody else, you know, we see someone drunk, we see someone on drugs, and we say, why don't they just quit it? But you know what happens when you see somebody worrying and fretting and stewing and all nervous about something? What does everybody else see? Why is he worried about that? What's the big deal? You see the similarities? From the outside, you look at it, and we see it. But when we're in it, it doesn't seem that big a deal. You know, we complain. You know, sometimes you hear about people that be, you know, that look a gift horse in the mouth. They complain about everything. Everything's just belly aching. That's a habit. And it's more comfortable just to bellyache about it than just to do it and be happy. But it's a habit. And we can be set free from that too. One time, I was going to the Mennonite church, and a man brought out that there was people that were there that were from the world. And they were all happy at this new church for a while. And then something happened. And they were put beyond their comfort zone. Or they had a little fuss. Or they seen somebody do something that they didn't like. Whatever it wasn't comfortable anymore to them. Whatever it was not pleasant anymore. And so they ran back to their safe comfort zone. They were people from the world. And so when things got uncomfortable, right back to the world they go. Whenever things weren't agreeable to them, right back to the world they went. And then there was people that were there that had trouble. And instead of going away, they just went further underneath the thumb of the church. They just went further in to letting someone rule over them and have power over them. You see, that was their comfort zone. When things went wrong, they went to the church. He brought it out to be something good that people would go to the church. But I saw it as that's their comfort zone. That's their place of retreat when they don't want to walk on the water. They get more religious. See, we talk about good habits and bad habits. We've talked about the bad ones. Is a good habit the thing to do? To cultivate a good habit? Most of the time we think yes. Jesus wants us to be free, not just someone who habitually does what they're supposed to. There's no choice in that. There's no life in that. It's just a filthy habit that is not so filthy as the habits that the world picks up. But it's still just a habit. People are religious out of habit. They get strict in their religion and things go bad, and the only place that they can run is to stricter religion, because that's where they find comfort, in their little rut. And so things get bad, they get stricter, they get tighter, they go under the thumb of someone else, just so they don't have to be free. Freedom is the most precious thing that we can have. Freedom is the most difficult thing that we can maintain. But it's the only way. We can have religious habits and be just as addicted, just as hooked on those religious habits as a drug addict is hooked on drugs. It just doesn't seem right. I've said it before. I've been able to help drug addicts more effectively than I have religious people. Percentage-wise, we've helped more drug addicts than we have Amish people. It's almost impossible to help them because their filthy habit just happens to appear like a pretty good one. Where some people's filthy habits look despicable to us. They're both a rut. They're both very comfortable ruts. They're both habits. They're very comforting habits. But they're not freedom. Jesus came to set us free. That means that every day we choose to do things not just because it's a habit to us, it's because we're choosing to do what's right. That's why it's so hard. The Pharisees, whenever Jesus was here, they had their habits. Jesus was free. And when Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't bound by all the habits that they were. He could live the life of Christ, to live the life that God intended for him. And so he could walk through and they would all stand back and say, why isn't he keeping these habits that we are? Because he was free from them. On both sides of the fence. That's what he's called us to be. The habits, the good ones, keep us many times from just doing what we're supposed to be doing. While we're thinking we're doing something right because we've got a good habit. The just shall live by faith. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, I got baptized. Oh, I went to an altar. Faith is something you live by every day. Freedom is something you do every day. It's not just one day I got set free from tobacco or whatever. There's miracles that we can obtain to, that we can have. They're there. The Lord can still heal us. Deliver us from these things. But a lot of times our habits are more comfortable than delivery. It's easier to sit in the boat of habit, sit in the old rut, whether it's wicked or whether it's religious. It's easier to sit there than to get out on the water and live by faith, by walking on the water with Jesus. You see, Peter took off walking. And what habit did he fall into that caused him to start to sink? He just started worrying about the things around him. And when he recognized he was sinking, he cried out again, "Lord, save me." That's where our hope is, and that's where our help is. Jesus came to call us to rising above all of that stuff and to set us free. And it's free to anyone who wants it. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Make me think of your sermon about the chicken that jumped out of the cage onto the highway. Comfort zone, trying to get into his comfort zone, but making it work.
Mm-hmm. I think of what Jesus said about Mary. He said, "She's chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." And that's, he doesn't call us into that freedom to slip it out from under our feet later or whatever. If we want to, if it's there, if we can just, that's the rest of the place. But it, like you said, it's a choice we make here and there.
Brother Marcus assigned us last week to bring a story about goodwill. And I think it's a real blessing that Jesus came and brought peace and goodwill to men. And it's a blessing how we can show that in our life, and we can be that and have goodwill and just come, and we can, it's neat how we can come and build a building and just work on it all together, and it's just a blessing to show goodwill on earth.
When we go Christmas caroling, we bring goodwill to the people and encouragement.
My sisters have goodwill towards their siblings.
I thought about the Apostle Paul. He went all over the world spreading peace and goodwill, sharing the gospel, and was persecuted and put in jail for months and years at a time and put on an island, but he still kept going, spreading peace and goodwill.
I seen a video last week of a kid. He didn't get the Christmas present that he wanted, and he asked his dad why. His dad told him that, for one, he didn't have the money to get it, but he also told him that Christmas isn't meant, you know, it's not a day that we just get gifts. It's to celebrate, you know, Jesus coming onto this earth to bring peace and goodwill to them.
Good morning. I want to start out reading from James 3. Verse 1. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Looking at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt produce fresh. Their salt water produce fresh. I'd talk about the effects of the tongue this morning. I saw a picture this week, and it kind of stood out to me. It was a picture of a man's face, and it had his brain and his mouth highlighted, and it said, "Make sure they're connected before you feel like you need to say something." And that really stuck out to me. Ramble on about nothing. It says here that in verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It's another saying, there's two things you can't get back. You can't get a bullet back once it's been fired out of a gun, and you can't get words back once you spoke them. And it just really challenges me to stop before I speak and think about what I'm going to say and not be so fast to just be the first one to comment on something, because usually when I do, I make myself look kind of silly because I don't give myself time to think about it. But that's about all I had this morning. But thank you.